that it began with anger in his life. He was upset and angry at Jesus because of the incident in verse 6 to 13. Where Jesus was in the house of Simon, the former leper. And as Jesus was being anointed by this woman, and she was washing his feet, Judas said, "Why was such money wasted on this oil? Couldn't it have been given to the poor?" And Jesus' answer upset him. Jesus says in verse 10, "Why do you trouble the woman? She has done a good work." The cross-reference in the Gospel of John chapter 12, some people think it's two different incidents. But some believe that it's the same incident because of the relationship. Chapter 12, verse 4. One of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box. And when Jesus answered thus, it seems that Judas Iscariot was offended. And in a fit of anger, he had his mind made. He turned over to the Pharisees, sold himself over to them. From that time onward, he was plotting when to betray him. And you know that it was like an outward burst that was there for some time. For in Matthew, later on in the Gospel of Matthew, he expresses regret. Chapter 27, verse 3 and 4. Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. So apparently Judas Iscariot did it in a fit of anger. And he had unforgiveness in his heart. He was offended at Jesus Christ. Some theologians believe and thought that he did it because he thought that he may help Jesus be recognized. And when Jesus didn't, he was disappointed and he hung himself. But a closer observation shows that there were personal feelings involved. The time he decided to betray Jesus was significant. At a time when Jesus made a statement that may have offended him. So Judas Iscariot did not begin as a bad man. He turned into a bad person because of circumstances and events. And even right to the time Jesus gave him so many chances to repent. When Jesus washed his feet, when Jesus said, "One of you will betray me," and he still didn't repent. And then when Jesus said, "The one to whom I gave this sop is the one who betrays me," he still didn't repent. When the disciples all one by one said, "Is it I? Is it I?" Judas also said, "Is it I?" Jesus said, "It's you." And he still went and betrayed him. So we realize that there was emotional considerations to the decision of Judas. Of course, it was a definite decision. Some people emotionally do some wrong things. They get away fast. It doesn't affect their volition. But for Judas, he made up his mind. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. And he turned against Jesus Christ. The next significant area is in the crucifixion, the details of it. In verse 38, "Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads, saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God." Look at it. It looks like both robbers were against him. But in other Gospels, it says that one of the robbers was for him, one was against him. You cross-reference and you compare it with the other Gospels. In chapter 23 of the Gospel of Luke, verse 39, one of the criminals who were hung blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do not even you fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? We justly, but he unjustly." So as we compare the Gospels, we come to this point where when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, even his divinity can be seen. Apparently that robber who was convicted by watching how he died. You look carefully at that point. As they crucified Jesus, both the robbers revile him and blaspheme. In verse 44, the robbers who were crucified with him revile him with the same thing. And then verse 45, from the 6th hour until the 9th hour there was darkness. And then verse 46, about the 9th hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." Now look over at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. And as Jesus Christ hung on the cross, notice that there were some things that he said, some other words that he also said. In verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." This is what I believe took place. At first, both robbers were reviling him. But Jesus Christ never reviled back. And as Jesus Christ on the cross just kept on to what God wanted him to do. And while they were mocking him, Jesus kept showing love. And he looked at all around him and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done." One of the robbers was convicted. Even on the cross, he gave out love. And even on the cross, one of the robbers became convicted and began to realize this man is just. How did that robber know that this man is just? By the way Jesus behaved, he doesn't behave like a criminal. Many criminals, when they die, they curse. But Jesus was different. He blessed. He prayed. He forgave. And somehow along the way, in those 6 hours on the cross, it was long enough for that robber to change his mind. He was convicted and said, "Truly this is a just man, not like us." And he stopped his reviling. And the Bible also tells us here, in chapter 27, when he died, in verse 50, when he had cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earthquake and the rocks were split. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Before Jesus Christ died and after Jesus Christ died, something took place in the cosmic world. Before Jesus Christ died, every one of those who died, who believe in him and who don't believe in him, go down into a place underneath the earth. That place in Greek is called Hades. And according to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, in the story of Lazarus and the poor man, the place deep inside the earth is divided into two sections. One section is called Abraham's bosom. The other section is where the rich man Lazarus was suffering. And between them was a chasm which they could not cross. We know from the story in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Samuel, that Samuel, who has gone to be with God, came up out from underneath the earth. So he was down there waiting. So before Jesus died, everything was underneath the earth. There was the good part and there was the bad part. Something took place, and I'm just quoting the scriptures because we're running short of time. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that he who ascended also descended. And it specifically says he descended, Ephesians chapter 4, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. And then he took captivity captive. So it was like there were two parts. Here's a red wire and here's a green wire. It's underneath the earth, right? So Jesus was on this earth, this is underneath the earth. Then above is heaven. When Jesus died, the moment he died, there was such a shaking in the cosmic spiritual realm. And Jesus descended, and nothing seemed to take place for 3 days. But suddenly on the third day, when Jesus rose, he took all those captivity captive. All those who were taken captive. The yellow wires here represent the good part. Abraham wasn't there, it's the bad part. And so he raised them up and he took them all up to heaven. That is called the first resurrection. And that was what took place. And on their way to heaven, see, harmonized with all the scriptures, Ephesians 4. He led captivity captive. And as he took them all towards heaven, on the way to heaven, one of them may say, "Lord, can we just have a look at Jerusalem?" Jesus said, "Alright." And so the whole group of them went and looked at Jerusalem. So that was what happened in the book of Matthew chapter 27, verse 53. Coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city. That's the only authentic tourism taking place in the Bible. And they went, and some of them must have seen these formerly dead people with the new resurrected body being risen, and they were there for some time before they disappeared. According to some apocryphal writings, like the Gospel of Nicodemus, one of them talked about some of the things that took place, and after that they just disappeared. So they were physically resurrected and taken. All those who died right up to the point of Jesus cross. Now anyone who dies who believes in Jesus doesn't go down anymore, because now it's up. That is why Paul says in the book of Philippians that if I die with Christ, I shall be with Christ. That is why Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was about to be stoned, he says, "I behold Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God." What was Jesus doing? Jesus was welcoming him back to the Father. So we know that anyone who died now goes up. In the Old Testament, anyone who died went down. And they waited. It was like a waiting room. So that is the explanation of the mystery there in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27. And 28 is where the Great Commission is. Now, we want to conclude by touching a few parts on the eschatological aspects of Matthew. You will find many parts of Matthew that points towards the last day and the church age. Most of you are familiar with Matthew chapter 24. But I want to point to a very significant part in Matthew where there is a collection of parables all occurring together. That's Matthew 13. Matthew 13 There are 7 parables that flow in chronological order. And there is a prophetic significance. Just to give an example of some of the prophetic predictions of Jesus Christ.